problems every day. Makes me want to holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world? I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for every radio. Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Yeah, we need them. We need them. We need those strategies. Those strategies for living, that is. So are you ready? You ready for your daily dose? Your daily dose of radio rehab?
I'm ready.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all that I needed. I just needed to hear that. Yep. Hey, folks, welcome. We need you, too. I'm glad you're here. Welcome into Strategies for a Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC, Lauren Leon McMillan. Is there anything in this life that we don't have to let go of, Lauren? I mean, you know.
Well, you know, you don't have to, I suppose. Well, no, I can't argue with that one. I really can't.
I think if you live long you have to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes some beliefs. I guess it's up to you. There's certain beliefs that eventually you have to let go of if you want real peace.
Mm-hmm.
You found a fella named Corey Muscara.
Yeah.
I hope that's the way to say his name.
I'm not sure. I really like him, though.
He's the author of a book. Did you know he had a book out there called Stop Missing Your Life?
No, I'm going to have to
How
check
to
it out.
Be Deeply Present in an Unpresent World?
Mm.
Looks like a good book. Anyway, you follow him like in a blog or Instagram post or whatever.
Yes.
And he recently posted a post that says these are beliefs that you eventually have to let go of if you want real peace. Now, that's intriguing.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of us that when it comes to the B word, when it comes to beliefs,
mm-hmm.
man, we embrace them. We hug them. We hold
tight
them tight.
Them. Yeah. With conviction, quite frequently.
Yeah. And we'll, even some of them we'll fight for.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, when you start really thinking about beliefs, it's a matter of what you said a few minutes ago. How much peace do you want?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to consider these beliefs that Mr. Corey puts forward. And we'll discuss them, and, you know, maybe they can help all of us.
I hope so.
Yeah. Folks, thank you for tuning in to Strategies for Living. We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center, Azalea Cleaners, Pintail Roofing, Learning RX, the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage. Back in a minute to dive into strategies for living, that is.
Tune in daily, find the light, healthy mind and spirits bright, strategies for living strong. Feel the vibe, it won't go wrong.
Welcome in to Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, talking about beliefs today.
The very foundation of our existence.
But yeah, okay, so when you say that, the very foundation of our existence, some people may be scratching their heads there, but if you, I think I know what you're referring to. If we are creators of our life, right? Then is there anything more important than what we choose to believe? Now, some people will take, you know, take offense right there.
Right.
What do you mean?
Well, because
what do you mean I'm choosing to believe? There are certain things that are just,
they just are.
Period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
if that's the case, you know, I might consider you to think about a time where you did change your mind.
Oh, you mean like when I used to believe in Santa Claus?
Right. Oh, that's a good one, actually, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened to your world?
I remember when I figured out.
You remember?
I remember when I figured out the Easter Bunny. And the Easter Bunny just did not.
The Easter Bunny was the first one to go for you.
It was the first one to go. And I remember it was I was in the front of the A&P grocery store that my father ran over where Ralph and in Bossier, where Ralph and Kaku's is now.
Right.
And I remember, you know, and just challenging my mother. I couldn't have been more. I don't know what I was, but maybe five, six. But I'd figured out, I was old enough to figure out, okay, this doesn't make sense. A bunny that goes all over the world and delivers these Easter baskets and eggs. Okay, no, not buying it, not having it. And I remember fleetingly thinking, do I really want to push this?
Yeah, do I want to let go of
do
this?
Do I want to let go? No, no, I wanted to let go of the Easter bunny. I was ready for that.
Oh.
I remember thinking and making the connect with Santa Claus. And I was, like I said, I was in the front of the grocery store. And around Christmas time, A&P always had great toys that came in. They didn't carry them all year long, but they carried some great toy sets for Christmas. And, you know, Santa always ended up bringing those to me. The displays, the displays that would be up on top of the produce counter to, you know, to sell. I ended up with the displays.
Right.
Santa would bring those to me. Right.
Right.
And so I had a good gig going.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. I really had a good gig going. And even though I was ready to do the Easter Bunny in, wasn't ready to do the guy in the red suit and the beard in. Nope, not having it.
You got too much out of him. And our beliefs really work very much the same way.
Okay, so how so?
Well, because we, one, once we're ready to let go of them, we do have to go through a grieving process.
Yeah.
We have to allow it.
Well,
ourselves.
Even before we go through the grieving process, you know, what I just illustrated, we have to go through a decision process.
Yeah, a discernment.
We have to go through a discernment process where we take, because so many beliefs, Lauren, that we, even some that we hold so, as so much, we put so much credence in and we hold it to
down
the truth.
Down to the fact that we're a physical body.
Because they were given, they were passed down to us. We learned them from cherished people in our lives, right? And so many of those beliefs we've never really examined.
Right.
We've just, oh, well.
I just accept that as true.
I accept that as true.
Yeah.
But as we've said many times, and I you know, we don't say this to upset anybody, but until you are willing to wrestle with the container of beliefs that was handed down to you, whether those are social, whether those are religious, whether those are, you know, about life
mental,
in general,
emotional, personal, who you are, where you stand in the world.
They are not yours until you're willing to really wrestle with them. They belong to somebody else.
Yeah.
Are some bodies that passed them down to you.
Something that I heard recently that I really, it was one of those mind expansive moments where, wow, that's really true if you think about it that way. And it kind of relates to this, is the idea that it's a doctor that I follow.
Right.
And he suggested that, you know, we're not, he actually started out in hospice, right?
Okay.
And so the way he got to this was he was seeing so many, like 10% of his patients who came into hospice.
Right.
They were being discharged. Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Eight clients a week who got told they only have 6 months to live.
Right.
Were discharged and were living again.
Right.
Right. And so he began to question this.
He began to question when people are told you're ready for hospice.
What happens?
What happens?
Right.
Yeah.
And so he came to the conclusion, and it's really elegant. And he says that, you know, we're not really a body of cells. Now, this is a medical doctor saying this. We're not a body of cells, but we're a body of stories.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
And we're not a body of cells. We're a body of stories.
Because that's what he was seeing happen with those patients who were discharged from hospice.
Sure.
Is that they were told they only had 6 months to live, and they began telling themselves a different story.
Yep.
And they wrote a completely different story for
themselves. And when they did, the cells of their bodies
responded
and changed.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a former life strategist here on the program, Dr. Bruce Lipton, that wrote a wonderful book,
yes,
The Biology of Beliefs. And there's so much out there nowadays that is underscoring what you're talking about and the power
of our beliefs. We're catching up scientifically with physics and biology. We're recognizing that we're not really as stagnant or as consistent or constant as we think we are.
Yeah.
We're light blipping in and out. And with every belief, every story that we tell ourselves, our physical reality changes around us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's kind of laying the foundation for the power of these beliefs and why you might want to examine them. And why you might need to, you know, decide to let them go.
You know, another former life strategist that I wish was still with us, Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Yes.
But he used to have a saying. You know, the old saying is...
As you see it.
Yeah. The old saying is, I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
And Wayne turned that around.
Yeah.
When you believe it, you'll see it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's very true.
And so, you know, there are people like Bruce Lipton, like Wayne Dyer, like the doctor.
Dr. Hyman,
you're talking about, that literally are helping us to understand that it's not just a matter of the beliefs in stone. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of the perception from which we look something. So let us look at something. So let's go back to Santa Claus for a second, because I want to play Santa's advocate here.
Okay.
I don't want to say devil's advocate, so I'll say I want to play Santa's advocate here.
All right.
Is Santa Claus real?
Yes.
Absolutely, Santa Claus
is
real.
The spirit of Santa is
absolutely
incredibly real.
And you see it.
Because we create it.
We create it. Yeah. We see it. You feel it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
Santa,
magic.
Santa is as real as love is real.
Right.
You know, so again, when you believe it, you can see it.
Mm.
But there's some things in life, many things in life, actually, that until you're willing, until you're willing to switch the belief, you're not going to be able to see the, you use the term magic.
Mm-hmm.
Our miracle is another M term.
Right.
And I truly think that, you know, that was... Some of the, when Jesus performed the miracles that are noted in the Bible,
well, what he says most often after he performs a miracle is it's your faith that saved you.
Right.
Right.
And
what is faith but your belief, your underlying what you believe in your deepest programming?
That's the reason he was able to say with conviction, these things that you see me do?
Right. You can do
You will do and greater.
Right.
Because he knew that we would continue to evolve our beliefs.
And our consciousness.
Our collective beliefs are our consciousness.
Yes.
And that's another way to say our collective spirituality, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Your author gives us a handful of beliefs. Let's start with this one.
Okay.
If I leave before they leave me, I won't be hurt.
Mm.
So he says that's a belief that you've got to be willing, you know, to eventually give up if you want real peace. Now, that's interesting. If I leave before they leave me, I won't be hurt.
Yeah. How many times have we seen this?
Yeah. And this happens in you know, places we work. It happens in intimate relationships. Yeah. But we're already hurt.
Right. Because this one begins in hurt, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this one often begins usually, but it doesn't have to, but usually in childhood when emotional abandonment or some kind of inconsistency, right? It taught us that relationships are risky.
Right.
And so it's like, I'd rather leave first before I can be rejected.
So holding on to this one is really a prevention to the opportunity to heal.
Ooh, yeah.
And so through intimacy and connection, that's the way we heal.
Right. Because by running, you block yourself by the very thing that could help you heal.
Yeah.
Right. Which is real intimacy. Right. And so if you've got this on board, maybe the question of, you know, am I avoiding pain?
Yeah.
Or am I avoiding intimacy?
Mm.
Or both?
Great questions. You always have the best question.
I don't know about that. I try.
We're talking about beliefs. Beliefs. We're talking about today beliefs that you'll eventually have to get rid of, let go of, if you really want real peace. We've got more right here on Strategies for Living, so stay with us. You're going to see the difference. When you go to Azalea Cleaners, you'll hear about it too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283 and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
They see the same old problems day to day. Makes you want to holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies. Strategies for Living Radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for Living Radio.
Oh, we got an abundance of them right here.
Strategies.
We strategies. Yeah, we try to keep them on hand and keep a little extra in the back room, you know?
Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan. David McMillan. Talking about beliefs today that you have to be willing to let go of if you want real peace. So the first one we talked about is, if I leave before they leave me, I won't be hurt. And, you know, change change is difficult. Mm-hmm. Change is hard. But with, you know, in life, so many of us don't want change, right? We want things to stay just the way they are.
Well,
and that goes counter to life itself.
Right. I mean, it's just impossible. That's kind of the illusion of control, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's all that is.
Talk about illusion of control. How about this one?
Mm-hmm.
If I do everything right, I'll be safe.
What is right?
Yeah, there's that perception thing from, you know, where, what is, what is, from what angle are we, yeah, are we looking? What angle am I looking at the Easter Bunny? Mm-hmm. What angle am I looking at Santa Claus? Not mm-hmm. ready to give that one up yet, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So control doesn't guarantee safety.
No. But it's something that, you know, a lot of us learn, like, you know, this one, and I can relate to this one, right? It's often rooted in trauma, where we learned that being in control meant, you know, that I'm okay. As long as I can predict and control and do say the right things,
right,
then I'll be safe,
yeah,
right? And that comes from, can come from a childhood where, you know, you had to act a certain way and you had to do things the right way. Otherwise,
quote unquote, the right way.
Right.
Defined by the bigger, stronger people in the right, house and in the room at the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, you really weren't safe, right? You felt unsafe because you were a child.
Right.
And you depended upon these people for your survival.
Right. But here's the problem. Control does not guarantee safety. What control does, if you try to control and control and control and control and control and control and control, which is the way a lot of people live our life.
What does that lead to?
Exhaustion.
Anxiety, burnout. Yeah, exhaustion. Yeah.
Exhaustion. Because, you know, it's not until, Lauren, that we're willing to let go of control
mm-hmm.
to that we're able to see there's something. There's a safety. There is a safety.
Yeah.
But it's a very deep safety.
It's a deep-rooted safety beyond what you can see.
Right.
Yeah. And so this is where, you know, in a lot of 12-step programs, they suggest a higher power.
Right.
And this is where something like that comes in handy. Some kind of trust in something greater than yourself. It doesn't have to be God. It can be your higher self or the universe or karma, whatever you feel.
Are the collect? Are the collective? The
right.
collective knowledge. You know, two heads are better than one. Four heads are better than two. On and on. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because letting go of, well, I have to be right to be safe, doesn't mean that we're going to be reckless. Right. Mm-hmm. Letting go means I'm going to trust the greater current of life to take me where it needs to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, you know, we have to get to and be willing to come to a certain level of maturity mm-hmm. and growth to be able to understand this one and perhaps any of the beliefs that we're talking about letting go of.
Right.
You know, I remember back in a class in abnormal psych.
Mm-hmm.
And the professor teaching us defense mechanisms, mm-hmm. how to identify the original Freudian defense mechanisms. And at the, you know, when we went all over the class, she said something that I've never forgotten, Lauren. She mm-hmm. said, now you're, you know, here you are armed as young mm-hmm. therapist with the knowledge of these defense mechanisms. You may want to go out there and jerk them away immediately from everybody that you see that has them. She mm-hmm. said, be very careful. She said, because many times defense mechanisms are like life preservers,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so she said, yeah, if somebody can swim and you jerk away their life preserver,
that's okay.
That's okay. But there's many people, and she said, be careful, because some people don't know how to swim.
Right, right. Yeah. And the learning to swim in this case, well, in all the cases of these beliefs, I think, is about anchoring into your own inner world. Like, so if you're saying that you have to be right to be safe, my challenge to you would be, what does safety look like inside of you?
From within,
right? How can you cultivate safety? And if it has to, you know, if it comes from a need to control, well, you have all of the control, a lot of control over what goes on in your internal world.
Right.
And therefore, you know, that
I choose how to respond to all that stuff outside of me that I don't have any control over.
Right? I mean, it's the serenity prayer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. God grant me the serenity to accept those things.
Which I cannot.
I cannot change. And the courage to change the things I can.
And
the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
A beautiful, beautiful prayer adopted by the 12-step movement.
Right.
And I would say that prayer alone has probably helped millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Another interesting thing, you know, this one is, I have to be right to feel safe. A good practice, if you know, if you hear yourself in this one, is to let yourself be quote unquote wrong. Mm-hmm. Let yourself make a mistake and have some kind of practice within yourself to ground you in safety so that you know that you're okay in that moment.
Yeah.
Right. So take
it's safe for me to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Because how else do I learn other than my willingness to mess up sometimes.
Right.
And then to be able to be offered or offer myself a course correction.
I also saw something recently. Somebody asked Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, the physicist, the astrophysicist.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
asked him, when was the last time you were wrong? And it really challenged him because he hadn't thought of it in that way before.
Right, right.
And I liked the way he answered because he said, you know, the way he thought about it is this idea of beliefs that he holds as these really strong convictions. And so to be wrong would be to jerk him out of this strong conviction. And if that's the case, you know, he doesn't consider himself to ever have been wrong recently, right? Because he's always open to possibilities.
Mm.
He's always open to being corrected.
Yeah.
And he differentiated between, I'm always open to being corrected, you know, and that's different from being wrong.
Right.
And I liked that reframe because it really allows for someone to stand from that open curiosity place without feeling, you know, I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a right or a wrong. I'm open to correction and more information.
Right.
And
more
and evidence.
Additional evidence, additional information, you know, it puts me into a different place, a different position from which I'm going to look at perhaps the same, you know, the same set of circumstances.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we could just take that, I really like the idea that the word wrong roots back to were, W-E-R.
Okay.
And W-E-R just means bend or turn.
Oh.
So
now that's a different way to look at
right.
it.
Right. And that's one of my favorite reframes with for me personally, is to remember that there really is no wrong, and wrong just means turn or bend.
Yeah.
It just means to be malleable.
The opportunity to look at it a different way.
Yeah.
Stretch a little bit, turn your neck, turn your head.
And that's what life's about.
I mean,
it's about bending and turning and growing and stretching.
Here's another one when it, you know, we throw the F word in here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, forgive. So there's a belief that goes something like this. If I forgive them, I'm excusing what they did to me.
Mm.
And here's the deal. By not forgiving them, by holding on to our righteous anger.
Yes.
Or our righteous pain. I'm only allowing them, who are they, to hurt me longer.
Right. You're holding on to the poison.
Yeah.
you're keeping it in.
Yeah. So, you know.
And that's the whole purpose of true forgiveness is to
lighten
for
the load, right?
Yeah. To lighten for yourself.
Yeah. Free, you know, we have a little acronym that we've talked about before on strategies. We need to talk about it again, but, you know.
Freeing ourselves,
releasing and recognizing.
Reprocessing.
Yeah. gifts of of both
grieving
and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, energizing my life, adding energy and seeing
ego aside. Yeah,
victims no more. Victims no longer.
Right.
No such thing as a victim. Right.
Yep.
And then
energizing
from there. Yeah.
Yeah. The I was inner work, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
We'll do another
inside job.
Obviously, to do another.
We obviously
program.
Need to scratch that off and revisit that.
So, you know, once you feel like you've been angry long enough,
mm-hmm.
Then what softens you? Well, grief can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what allows forgiveness to happen, you know, when you're ready for it.
Yes.
Because forgiveness is nothing magical.
No, and it's not about...
It's a decision. It's a choice and a decision. Okay, I'm ready to put that down.
Right. And it's not about saying what they did was okay at all. It's saying, I will no longer carry this.
I don't want to carry this anymore. I don't need this burden anymore.
Right.
I can let you and God and the universe take care of whatever mm-hmm. was you chose to do back in whenever. But I don't, you know, my time carrying it.
Yeah, I'm done.
That's over with.
Yeah,
I can be finished with that.
Yeah.
Talking about peace today. Well, if we really want peace, there are some beliefs that we've got to be willing to give up. We're talking about some of those today right here on Strategies for Living. We've got more. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
To your table, we're keeping it alive with flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here with a twist in the tail, alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Sausage, bold and true. Andre's bringing the bayou to you.
Get the Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us.
We all have problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies, strategies, strategies for living radio.
Yeah, we all need them, and we got them right here on Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, talking about beliefs that if we want more peace in our lives, eventually we've got to be willing to give up in order to get that peace. Now, you know, you may be saying right now, I wish so-and-so could hear this. I wish I could pass this program on to, you know, my friend in wherever.
Timbuktu,
yeah. You can do that.
You
because
can reach him.
We've got the Strategies for Living is now a podcast.
That's right.
We're not going anywhere. We're staying right where we are, where you're listening to us. But We've expanded.
In addition, we're on podcast platforms.
This is so neat, Lauren, because wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever the platform that you like to get your podcast, look for Strategies for Living. We're there.
Right.
And what is so neat is when I look, you know, to see that we have listeners now in, well, in Sheboygan, which is in the United States, but we also have listeners in Hachioji, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is so neat. You know, we got listeners in Camden in the United Kingdom, in Islington in the United Kingdom, in Birmingham in the United Kingdom, not Birmingham. Well, we probably have some in Birmingham, Alabama, too.
Probably.
We've got Johannesburg, South Africa, mm-hmm. and even Lagos, Nigeria.
What do you know?
We've got people listening and downloading, as well as Paris, France, and the Netherlands. It's so neat.
Yeah. Strategies has gone international.
We're in Switzerland and Germany, too. And you know, I can't leave Ireland out, right? Because we're in Dublin, you know. So anyway, those are just some of the cities that are taking advantage of Strategies for Living. So help us grow, pass the word on, and subscribe.
Yes, please.
Subscribe to your podcast, wherever you get your podcast.
You can always follow us on Facebook or Instagram and YouTube as well.
There you go. So we're talking today about beliefs. If we want more peace, then eventually we've got to, you know, give up some of these beliefs. Here's another one. Once life slows down, then I'm going to relax.
Oh, how many of us fall into that trap of, you know, essentially, I'll be happy when.
Yeah.
Or I'll find peace or time when the kids leave, when I get the job, when the bills are paid, after the next big deadline.
Yeah, right? I'm afraid several of us fall into that.
Yeah, but, I mean, life never slows down unless we choose to do so.
You know, and I think what we've got to remind ourselves is most of our exhaustion probably does not come from what we're doing. It comes from what we're holding.
Mm.
And that has to do with our minds. That has to do with belief.
Yeah, it has to do with unspoken needs, unresolved grief,
yep.
suppressed emotions,
yep.
right? All the things. And one thing I often will talk to my clients about, you know, I think we've all tried to do this, if not more often than not, try to carry all the grocery bags in at once, right? I see you do it all the time.
It helps to have helps to have a cart that you can put them on.
Yes, it does. But let's say, you know, you're one of those who go out and you try to fit as many on your arms as possible,
oh,
right?
Oh, and those bags that they use at the grocery store now,
mm-hmm.
that you can put a lot of them, you know, on your fingertip, but the more you carry them, the more you tote them, the more they hurt.
Right.
Yeah. They start to cut.
Yes, they
do. Or feel like they're
just
cutting.
Like all the things that we carry. And how good does it feel when you finally make it to the kitchen to put them down?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can do that with all of our other things too.
So
if not just for a minute.
So anything that is our unspoken needs, our unprocessed emotions,
mm-hmm.
betrayal that we haven't acknowledged, all of that can weigh us down more than any to-do list can weigh us down. So, you know, the invitation is go ahead, let's acknowledge and feel the pain.
Yeah, you got to feel it.
That's causing you to run, and then watch life begin to slow down a bit.
Right.
Yeah. And that's good stuff.
Yeah, because often we feel so rushed because we're busy rushing ourselves away from what we're carrying inside.
Yeah. But here's another good one. If I let go of everything, everything's going to fall apart. If I let go, everything's going to go to heck. Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, maybe so.
It might.
But often, you know, you need to let things fall apart in order to see that life can be built on the resonance of trust and surrender and ease.
Yeah. I mean, of course, the traditional, the image that comes to mind is that of the butterfly, right?
Mm.
I mean, when it goes into its cocoon as a caterpillar, literally every single cell of its body is disintegrated and fallen apart and reorganized.
Yeah.
Right? And so
it's miraculous.
Yeah. And then, right. And then, you know, a few weeks later, it emerges, but you have to give it that time.
Yeah.
Right. And so many times I think we have to remember that in our life, we go through these phases and in the day of instant gratification, we want it now. We want it yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. And we really need to give ourselves a little more time because look at nature. Nature doesn't need things yesterday. It knows that what it needs is today, here, now, for you.
Yeah.
Right. And so anytime you enact a change, especially if you're on this journey of rewriting your beliefs, letting go of beliefs, it can be messy for a time.
But you know, I'm going to love myself when I fix my issues.
Another belief?
Yeah. Then I'm gonna, once I fix my issues, then I'm going to love myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if your desire to change is just motivated by your own self-loathing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to reinforce a pattern of conditional love.
Right.
And you're going to create a, kind of a prison for yourself inside.
Mm.
And that's not good, you know?
Yeah.
I'd say push the door open.
And I think even us in the healing business can get trapped in this often.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, because how many of us throw ourselves into the next new healing modality and surround ourselves with...
We look. Yeah.
Consume. And we forget to be authentically with who we are right now in the moment. And that's who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
We're enough in each moment because it leads to the next.
We didn't cover all that Corey covered in his blog post, but if you want more like this, Corey Muscara, M-U-S-C-A-R-A, his book is called Stop Missing Your Life.
Mm.
And it's about how to be deeply present in an unpresent world. And pretty good thought-provoking stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
So, hopefully we learned a thing or two here on Strategies for Living. And hopefully the conversation will continue and go on.
Yeah.
We've got more to come. We'll be back to wrap up with Strategies for Living. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd. Join the fun. Become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. Mm-hmm. You get discounts on movies. You get concession upgrades. You get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center. .org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with Learning RX Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, Learning RX Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call Learning RX Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does Learning RX Shreveport.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you want a harder getaway. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare.
We're looking for strategies, strategies for living radio.
And we're here. That's what we're all about here on Strategies for Living Radio. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Talking today about beliefs that we've got to be willing to let go of.
Yeah.
If you want more peace. What's your takeaway from our program today, Lauren?
Just to keep in our awareness how much what we believe, what we think shapes our lives, and that peace is more often than not found in holding, but in letting go. Right.
Yeah.
Something interesting that I've found recently is the root to anger and anxiety are both ang,
mm-hmm.
which means tight or painfully restricted.
Yeah.
And so it's a reminder when you feel that, how can I loosen? How can I let go? How can I trust more? How can I open more to information around me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's where peace begins.
Sometimes we just have to be willing to make that slight adjustment. Just let go.
Right. And you can hold more with a cupped hand than with a grasping hand. Yeah.
That's quite an insight right there in and of itself. I knew there was some reason we kept you around.
Every now and then.
Folks, thank you. Thank you for being a part of Strategies for Living. We appreciate you being with us. We do this for you each and every time we do Strategies. And we appreciate our sponsors who make it possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing.
Roof.
And Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who is it that you'd call? What is it that you'd say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.